What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Lakers Outsiders Weekly Podcast brought to you by UCAS Studios. I am your host, Gary Kester, here with you as always. It has been a little while. It's been a little while since I've been on here. The last episode that I recorded was, feels like weeks ago now. Looking back on the date, it looks like probably was about 2 weeks ago. It was discussing the loss at Milwaukee. So it's been a while. I've been very busy. Had a couple of trips. Went to Las Vegas, and then I went to Portland actually to see the Lakers beat the Blazers 128-120. I'll go over that game a little bit. I don't think this pod's going to be too long today. I am just basically going to talk about their current 5-game win streak. It's kind of some things I've noticed. Things along those lines. I'm also going to be recording another podcast tonight. I'm recording these on Monday. What is today? January 6th. So recording two different pods tonight. The other one I'm going to be talking about the Kyle Kuzma trade rumors. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. And that should be up hopefully very shortly after I record this. We'll have to see on that. But yeah, let's talk about this 5-game win streak. But before I dive in, as always, guys, be sure to like this video and subscribe to UCAS Studios on YouTube and all the major podcast platforms. And then same thing with Lakers Outsiders, YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe. And you can find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com. You can follow us on Twitter at LakersOutsiders and on Instagram, same thing. And then like us on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Gary Kester. That's GaryKester. All right, so let's talk about this current 5-game win streak. One of those wins was on the road, and then we've seen the Lakers win four straight at home. It's nice for them to get back home. They had a couple pretty lengthy road trips. They had a 4-game road trip followed by shortly after a 3-game road trip and then a 5-game road trip. So they spent a lot of time on the road in December. So it's nice to see them kind of come home and get a nice little stretch at home where they can rack up some wins, which they've done. Hasn't been completely smooth, and I'll talk about that. But first, I'll talk about the game at Portland. It was the second time the Lakers have won at Portland this year, so they're done making the trip up there to Portland to play the Blazers. They'll play anytime they play them the rest of the way. It'll be in LA, so good to get two road wins against a team, obviously, that is struggling this year, but a team that still has star power and Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. They're obviously not fully healthy. They still don't have Yusuf Nurkic. They do have Carmelo Anthony now, who has shined at times with them and had some struggles in other times. But definitely some star power on that team. And I think, you know, being at that game, you could see it on full display. I thought Portland made some difficult shots in that game. There really wasn't a ton of defense played. I thought the Lakers played better defense than what the scoreboard would suggest. I thought Lillard hit some really, really tough shots. The Blazers shot pretty well from the three-point line for most of that game. But it was weird because the game stayed pretty tight. I'd say it stayed within about single digits most of the way. But I really wasn't overly concerned. It feels nice to feel that way about a Laker team, especially a Laker team coming off, at the time, a 4-game losing streak. They lost at Indiana, at Milwaukee, and then lost to Denver without LeBron, and then they lost, basically blew the game against the Clippers on Christmas Day, which was very, very frustrating. But it was good to see that the Lakers, you know, could bounce back from that loss and get a win on the road. Like I said, Portland has had their struggles, but it's good to see them get a win against a team that still has a lot of star power. Still has a lot of star power, and they're still dangerous. You know, I don't care what their record says, they're still a dangerous team because they've got CJ McCollum and of course Damian Lillard, one of my favorite non-Laker players. This guy's really, really good and very explosive. Very explosive player, can go off at any time. So it was good to see the Lakers really dial in. Kyle Kuzma played fantastic in this game. Part of a really nice stretch for him. He had 24 points in this game. LeBron had 16 assists in this game. I mean, he was just dropping dimes all over the place. Really, really cool to see. Anthony Davis. If you haven't seen Anthony Davis play in a Laker uniform in person this year, I highly recommend it. I know ticket prices are crazy expensive, but even if you're sitting way up or whatever, He is a treat to go watch play, especially in the purple and gold. So highly, highly recommend it. It was my first experience seeing him play in person in general, but also obviously seeing him play as a Laker. I got to see LeBron a couple times last year. I was actually there in Portland for LeBron's first game. First ever game as a Laker last year, and that was a lot of fun, especially the two dunks that he had early on really just sent the building into a frenzy. But this game was a little more tame, but it was nice to see a lot of different guys step up and make some shots, and Kyle Kuzma especially. Been kind of an up and down year for him, but the highs are really high, the lows are really low. So hopefully he can become a little more consistent. If not, he might find his way onto another team. Who knows? I'll talk about that in the other podcasts. So again, keep an eye out for that. But good win, good road win to go into Portland. That's a tough place to play. They obviously hate the Lakers, and it was a pretty hostile crowd. But Lakers, a lot of Laker fans there, a lot of Laker fans. My entire row basically was all Laker fans, and the people behind me were Laker fans too. So that was a lot of fun. But that was a fun game to go to. Fun game to watch a win, and 128 to 120 there. Started the bounce back, or the rebound, I guess, from the four-game losing streak, and started this current five-game win streak that the Lakers are on. So moving to Dallas, this was kind of a weird game. The last four games have been kind of just really weird games for the Lakers, where it seems like they start out really fast, and then they kind of struggle. They kind of just coast a little bit. And I think we saw this a little bit maybe early on in the season, maybe not the fast starts, but getting big leads and just kind of coasting. And I think this kind of becomes comes with the territory of playing lower competition, where I think this team kind of understands that they, against those, you know, lower quality teams, especially with this five-game win streak. I mean, they beat Portland and Dallas, are two at least decent teams. Portland, I think, even though they've struggled again, they've got firepower you have to deal with. Dallas is a good team, so that was a good win by the Lakers. But in this trip, they beat the Suns at home, they beat the Pelicans at home, and beat the Pistons at home so far. And then they get the Knicks on Tuesday. Kind of a stretch here against some easier opponents. And When you do that, you might start to fall into some bad habits, and because you know you can get away with them. So we saw that, I think, early in the year, especially with that November schedule. It was pretty soft, and the Lakers just kind of, you know, kept doing enough to keep racking up the wins, even though it wasn't pretty. So kind of seeing a little of that in this win streak. But the Dallas game, I thought, was actually really impressive. I thought defensively, I mean, the thing with Dallas's offense this year is, like, they've been almost historically great, historically efficient from the field. They shoot the ball really well. They pass it really well. Offensively, they just execute. They execute really, really well. And Luka Doncic was back, played 30 minutes, and the Lakers held him to 19 points, 7 assists, and 4 rebounds. I mean, he's been kind of a triple-double machine this year. He also had 6 turnovers, and he was a minus 13. So Lakers did a really, really nice job corralling him and keeping him from going off, and really just stymied the Mavericks offense most of the night. Really, really nice to see. It was kind of a sloppy game from both sides, but the Lakers obviously executed a little bit better. Anthony Davis had 23 points on just 12 shots, 8 of 12 from the field. LeBron, not a high-scoring game for him, only took 10 shots and hit 3 of them, but had 13 points, 13 assists, 6 boards, a couple of steals, and just doing the things that he does. And Lakers just got, you know, some contributions from different guys. Dwight Howard had 15 points, 6 of 7 shooting. A lot of those are obviously around the basket, but it's nice to see him finish those. Good game from KCP. He had 19 points in that game. So you're getting different guys to step up, which is really, really nice. And the Lakers are going to need that. You're going to need those role players to step up in big moments, especially against good teams, and help you get wins. So that was a good win. I thought the Portland and then the Dallas win were both pretty impressive because they had different guys step up in each of those games. And Dallas, I think, is a really good team. They're a really good team. They're among the, you know, top teams in the West right now. And they beat the Lakers the last time they played. So they beat them pretty good, too. They really took over in the third quarter and kind of dominated that second half of the last time they played. This time the Lakers really flipped the script and did a nice job and really controlled most of that game. So that was an impressive win. Now onto the Phoenix game. This is kind of where the recent trend I've noticed has started, where the Lakers start fast and then just kind of coast, or, you know, it's almost like they get a little stunned when a team hits back, even when they jump out to a really, really big lead. So in this game against the Suns, the Lakers outscored them in the first quarter 43-17. And then they outscored them by 7 in the second quarter. So Lakers just, they had a massive, I think the highest or the biggest lead they had in this game, I want to say, was like 36. It was, I know it was over 30. And yeah, so you'd assume that, you know, game's over. There's no way the Lakers blow this big lead at home against the Phoenix Suns. But I mean, they nearly did. You know, it's kind of sad to say that they nearly did. Got very complacent, and you could just tell the offense was stagnant. They weren't really getting stops, and you know, it got a little worrisome there for a little bit. You know, the Suns got it within 8 a couple times there in the fourth quarter. I think it was, they got it back to 8 with 4.5 minutes left, and actually had the ball and had a chance to get it even lower. Luckily, Tyler Johnson missed a number of threes in the fourth quarter that could have really made things tight. But yeah, it was frustrating to see the Lakers, you know, build such a massive lead and then really just kind of limp to the finish line. They only scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, got outscored 38-27 in the third, 28-16 in the fourth. And they ended up winning by 10, you know, and a win's a win. I've been saying it all year. There's no style points in the NBA. There's no style points in professional sports, period. You just got to win. You just got to find ways to win. And, you know, Lakers found a way to win, found a way to hold on for dear life, basically, and not let the Suns come all the way back. Looks like I'm looking at kind of the play-by-play. They did get within 7 with a minute and 15 left. And that was as close as they got. But yeah, it was frustrating just to see the Lakers blow a big lead. You'd like to see them just take care of business. Even when you go up big, keep playing the game. Don't play the scoreboard. Don't get complacent. And really, you know, when you got your foot on their throat, just stomp down. And don't let them back, especially a team like that, a young team like the Suns. I mean, you let a team like that hang around, they start to believe they can beat you. And then that's, you know, there's going to be times where that burns you. So, was a little, you know, it was one of those games where the Lakers won, and I'm usually not overly, I don't like to harp on things when the team wins, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. But it was one of those games where they won, but it just wasn't a very satisfying win, because they just did so many things wrong after they built a really, really big lead in that game. So that was frustrating, but at the end of the day, it is a win. That was their third win in a row. And then they played Anthony Davis's old team yet again. Played against all the former Lakers. It was the first game back in Staples Center for the former Lakers: Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. And tell you what, this is another one of those games. I think I've said this before on the podcast that Anthony Davis, man, he just makes these monster games look really easy. Like, this was one of those games that I had no idea. I mean, I figured, you know, he was having a pretty good game because he was hitting the three. He was 3 or 5 from the three-point line, hit all 13 of his free throws. But it was like, I looked down and I was like, damn, this dude is over 40 points. He ended up with 46 points on the game, 13 boards, 3 steals, and a block. He was plus 26. Really, the starting lineup was all great in the plus-minus category. LeBron had 17 points and 15 assists, 8 rebounds. Danny Green. We finally got to see a Danny Green game. It's weird when you have shooters on your team. Like, when Danny Green was with San Antonio and even when he was with Toronto, every time I watched him, it felt like he never missed. And now that he's on the Lakers, it feels like he's shot 30% from the three-point line this year, but he's actually still shot, you know, a pretty good percentage. So, but this was one of those games he really started hot and, you know, was quite the catalyst for the Lakers and really shot the ball well. He was 9 of 14 overall, 6 of 10 from 3, 25 points. He actually had 5 assists too, which is really nice to see out of Danny Green. A couple of steals. And that's what we need to see, I think, out of Danny Green a little more often. Because I'm not overly concerned about it, you know. I think Danny Green's one of those guys that when the playoffs roll around, he's going to know it's ready to, you know, it's go time. And I think we're going to get probably the best version of Danny Green that we'll be able to. So I'm not worried about Danny Green, but this was really, really nice to see him kind of go off and really shoot the ball extremely well and get the Lakers off to a fast start. And then they kind of let the Pelicans hang around, had a big lead going into the fourth quarter. I believe they were up 22 going into the fourth, let the Pelicans kind of come back and minorly threaten a little bit. And then the Lakers, you know, did enough to pull away in the end and win by 10. So kind of another one of those games, not quite as drastic as the Suns game, where they built a massive lead and let the Suns, you know, take a huge chunk out of that. But they allowed the Pelicans to kind of hang around. And it was one of those games, another one of those games where you thought, oh, cool, this is going to be Davis and LeBron, you know, getting the fourth quarter off and finishing around, I don't know, 28, 29 minutes, right? Kind of like an in-game load management type of deal. But, you know, Lakers let the Pelicans kind of come back and start to threaten, and Davis and LeBron come back into the game, and they ended up with 38 minutes and 37 minutes, respectively. So kind of frustrating that we can't seem to put teams away and allow those guys to get some rest, because you want to keep those guys fresh. It is a very long season. We're not even halfway through it yet. And I'd like to see their minutes come down a little bit. But on that topic, I've noticed a lot of people kind of freaking out about it. I mean, it'd be a great luxury to have to be able to rest those guys in the fourth quarters of games and things like that and keep their minutes low. But the reality is the Lakers aren't going to rest those guys if it means losing games. You know, I know the regular season's not overly important and all that stuff. That's fine. But you still, when you're in the Lakers position, you still want to get home court in the playoffs. You like to get it in the finals, too, if you get that far. So you'd like to finish with the best record in the NBA and get home court for every series that you play in. And, you know, if Davis and James have to play a few more minutes, then that's what it's probably going to take. I think as we get later in the season, you'll probably see them scale it back a little bit more. But right now, I mean, I think the Lakers want to rack up as many wins as they can and really try and secure, you know, one of those top seeds and, you know, probably the top seed overall. So right now they're 4.5 games up in the West. And we're just not at a point in the season where the Lakers are going to, you know, really focus on that load management stuff with their stars. I think it'll come at some point. I just don't think it's going to happen just yet. I think it's still early enough in the season that they're not overly concerned about it. But it would be nice to see this team put teams away so that they could, you know, have games where they only play 28, 29 minutes instead of around 40. So that's something I'd like to see moving forward. But to the crowd that is freaking out about the Lakers not resting them more and thinking that they're overworking them, I mean, they're just, I can guarantee their mindset is not sacrificing wins just so they can play a few extra or a few less minutes a night. You know, I think at the end of the day, winning games is what's very important to them, as it should be, and securing a top spot and trying to get a home court in the playoffs and things like that, that's what they're after. And if LeBron and AD say that they're good, I mean, you got to trust your guys. You got to trust your guys that they, I mean, LeBron especially. I mean, LeBron knows his body better than anybody, and there's a reason why he's playing at such a high level this far into his career with this much mileage on his body, because he knows how to take care of it. He knows how to take care of it. So I trust LeBron. I mean, I trust Anthony Davis, even though he's been probably a little more injury prone, minor injuries, not really anything too severe, luckily so far, knock on wood. But, yeah, I'm not overly concerned about it yet. You know, we're not even halfway through the season. So if it continues to become a problem, then maybe that's a discussion for a later date. But they're not going to sacrifice wins right now and for the sake of playing LeBron and AD 5 or 6 less minutes a night. You know, I just don't think that that's going to happen. So, but another one of those games, like I said, that – one, that Anthony Davis's monster nights kind of sneak up on you because he makes it look so easy. You know, if you blink, I mean, the guy might have 40 points through three quarters or something like that. So It's pretty crazy that, you know, he can do the things that he does. But again, another one of those games, it would have been nice to finish that team off earlier so that we could get those guys some rest and they didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. So I'd like to see a little more killer instinct out of the Lakers, and I think that would reap some long-term benefits for them. All right, last game that I am going to talk about is the most recent one. By the time that I'm recording this, Lakers are getting set to play the Knicks tomorrow on Tuesday. So should be another win, but you never know. So that's why they play the games. And Detroit Pistons. This game was kind of another one of those funky games. It was pretty frustrating. Lakers got off to another, pretty good start. I think they were up 23-15 at one point. They did have a 9-point lead going into the half, and then proceeded to get outscored by 13 in the third quarter, but then outscored Detroit by 11 in the fourth quarter. So a little back and forth there. Fouled way too much. I didn't think the officiating was great, but the Lakers did foul way too much. The Pistons ended up with 35 free throws. Lakers got it they attempted 23 free throws, but for a good portion, the gap was a little bigger than that. So, again, frustrating that Anthony Davis had to play 38 minutes, LeBron played 35 minutes, and that the Lakers weren't able to put away a bad team. But at the end of the day, it's a win. A win's a win, and, like I said, the Lakers are going to try and rack those up and, just try and get as many as they can and hopefully, clinch, not only a playoff spot, but try and clinch a top seed is probably maybe as early as they can. I know it's way early to talk about that, but I think maybe their mindset is if we can secure, a top three seed with like 2 weeks left in the season or whatever, then we can really start to scale it back and start to kind of rest our guys and get them fresh for the playoffs and things like that, especially because that last month of the season, the last month of games, I guess, from mid-March to mid-April, the last month of the regular season for the Lakers, is pretty soft. I think they can win some games there without one of LeBron or Anthony Davis. So if they're able to keep racking up the wins now, I think maybe that's what they're looking at is, you can get to the All-Star break, guys will get some rest with the extended time off, and then you can do that again a little bit at the end of March, early April, when the schedule gets really soft and, maybe you have your seed locked up already. So, again, this game was frustrating. Derrick Rose looked really, really good. 28 points for him. I mean, 8 of 19 shooting isn't great, but he got to the free throw line and shot 10 free throws, made all 10. He was 2 of 3 from the three-point line, had 5 assists. Rose has been a guy that a lot of fans have talked about as a potential trade target, especially if the Pistons aren't going to be a playoff team or whatever. Rose would solve a lot of the Lakers' problems in terms of adding another scorer, another playmaker. He's had a really, really good year. He has had a really, really good year, and if the Lakers were able to swing a trade for Rose, that would be certainly be something to explore because, like I said, he's having a really, really good year, and I think his fit on this team would be really, really good. I don't know if they would start him. I would imagine Bradley or KCP would still start next to LeBron just for the sake of continuity. But Rose off the bench could still play a lot of minutes and would be a great offensive punch off the bench. And there's no rumors or anything. It's just been kind of a lot of fan chatter and things like that. But if Rose becomes a potential target, then that could be something to keep an eye on because he's had a really, really good year and he was very impressive in this game. Was really leading the way for Detroit and was kind of a thorn in the Lakers' side. So, it was, again, weird, weird game, kind of back and forth, game of runs. And luckily the Lakers did just enough to get out of there with a win. And Alex Caruso was quite the spark off the bench. He had 13 points, 5-9 shooting, had a pretty awesome dunk. It's great to see kind of the backboard angle where Dwight is kind of behind him doing the dunk with him a little bit and LeBron pretending to do the chase down block. It's really cool to see this team have a lot of fun. And speaking of Dwight Howard, by the time I'm recording this, report came out just not too long ago that the Lakers are going to guarantee Dwight's contract for the rest of the season. That's no surprise. He's played really, really good basketball for the Lakers and has been really just the ultimate professional on and off the court. So amazing to see. Amazing to see. He's been such a welcome addition, and it's a no-brainer really to keep him for the rest of the season. So hopefully he continues to play good basketball and stays locked in and, you know, tries to help this team win a championship. Because I think if he ends up doing that, even, you know, in a limited capacity as a role player, I think a lot of fans will forget what happened in 2012 and 2013 and that whole drama, that whole mess. So happy for Dwight. I'm really happy for Dwight. I was, if you guys have listened to this pod for a while or the Lakers Outsiders podcast, I've been on board with Dwight really since the beginning. You know, my only question was his mentality, if he was willing to take, you know, a role with this team that isn't, you know, a lead role. And he's absolutely embraced it, and it's shown. He had, you know, some big plays in this game, and especially defensively. I mean, the Lakers, 20 block shots in this game, 20 block shots, 8 from Anthony Davis, 6 from JaVale McGee, who got drug tested after the game. I don't know if it was due to the 6 blocks or it was due from the long three-pointer that he banked in. But either way, JaVale got drug tested after the game, and we haven't heard of him failing it, so I'm assuming he passed the drug test. But yeah, 8 blocks from Anthony Davis, 6 from JaVale McGee, and 5 from Dwight Howard. That's getting it done. That's protecting the rim, and that's, you know, why you keep an NBA team at 99 points. You know, nowadays that's probably going to result in a lot of wins if you keep a team to 99 points. So great defense by the big guys. And LeBron had another triple-double, 21 points, 14 boards, 11 assists. He's just racking up the assists this year, the triple-doubles. He was plus 23 in this game. That was my big concern, I guess, with this game was when LeBron left the floor, Lakers were a totally different team. So they got to figure that out, and I think they will. I think they're trying to address the roster and kind of make some tweaks to trying to eradicate that issue. And it'll be interesting to see what Rob Pelinka can do and what kind of deals he can swing. Sounds like Darren Collison might be on the way. So I'll talk about that in my Kyle Kuzma podcast that I'm going to record after this. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's frustrating that the Lakers haven't been able to put bad teams away. But at the end of the day, wins are wins. And they've got 5 in a row. They're up to 29-7 on the year. That's a 66-win pace. I mean, that's pretty unreal, considering this is a team that had a lot of roster turnover, a lot of new faces on this team, and a lot of people were picking, myself included. I had them around 50 wins this year. I thought with their typical injury luck, you know, resting LeBron, resting Anthony Davis, the roster turnover, new coaching staff, all that, I thought that they'd have some struggles along the way. But, man, they've been, even with that four-game losing streak, I mean, they're right there. Second best record in the NBA, first in the West by 4.5 games. So they've been really, really good and have another great opportunity to get to 30 wins if they can beat the Knicks at home on Tuesday before they hit the road for a couple and really start to dive into this January schedule. So, it'll be really interesting to see if the Lakers can keep it rolling, and hopefully the bench gets a little bit better with LeBron leaving the game. Hopefully he doesn't have to do so much. And the Lakers can get better there. And hopefully maybe Darren Collison will be on the way in February, coming out of retirement. So we'll see. And we'll see what kind of moves the Lakers make. And again, I'll talk about that on my other pod that I'm about to record. So that's going to do it this time. Thank you guys so much for listening. And again, guys, be sure to like this video and subscribe to UCast Studios and Lakers Outsiders on YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, all wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe, and you can find all of Lakers Outsiders content on LakersOutsiders.com, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Lakers Outsiders, and like us on Facebook as well. And I think that is going to do it. I'm going to go record this Kyle Kuzma trade rumor podcast and kind of share my thoughts on that. And yeah, with that, I'm going to get out of here, and I will see you guys next time. So for the Lakers Outsiders, this is Gary Kester signing off.